a load of this study here I want to share with you now that is pretty much an eye-opener. You might be surprised, so brace yourself. And it is this. The study shows that America has become more tolerant of every group except one. Wow. And I, when I read the headline, I was wondering, what group is it that we're simply not tolerant of? And I really had no idea. But it's a very fascinating study that I want to share with you a bit about. And the study itself was from a journal, Social Forces. Now, let me just get right to the punchline and tell you, the one group that America is simply has no tolerance for whatsoever, well, guess what? It's not maybe the one you thought about, unless you thought racist. So evidently, Americans have no tolerance for racists. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We're going to dive into that here today. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. Thanks for being with us today, friends. And we are on the march to 100 shows here on Life, Liberty. And I got to tell you, I have no idea where the time is going. Don't even begin to ask me that. I have no concept how we've already gotten to this level of shows. But we have had an amazing group of co-hosts. I'll tell you. And hopefully one day you're going to have a chance to meet all these people when we do this arena event I want to have and bring all of our such incredible talents together here. And we're so thrilled to have on the show here today. Barbara McGee joins us from Los Angeles. Dr. Andrea Pennington joins us from Monaco. And Ava Armstrong from the New England area. And we are talking here about a very interesting topic that actually Barbara had brought forth initially to us. Blended beliefs and the dangerous repercussions. And really more so tolerance. Does it really work? Well, again, according to these studies, and Barbara, let's dive right into this. I was amazed at some of the research on this show when I started to see this study. And I actually started to think of you right away because you and I have gone back and forth on this topic quite a bit over the whole season, haven't we, Barbara?
We've had our issues. And you know, that's the greatest thing is to be able to bring this forth. That's a great thing about our show. Is we're able to discuss these hot topics, get it out, and then you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and we go on and continue being friends and respectful co-partners.
Well, you just summed up the whole program, and that was worth a bottle of Coke right there, let me tell you, you know? Because that is exactly what my goal was. That is a beautiful thing, what you just said. That is a beautiful thing. So that's the whole premise of why I did this whole thing, and it's why America Out Loud, it's why this show, Life, Liberty, the Pursuit of Pleasure, has become such an amazing, I call it a body of work, Barbara. It's a very unique body of work, you know, that we've done here. So let's say, the reason you and I, because I'm a very cultural, hip sort of fella. I look at life a little differently maybe than some. But these studies sort of backed up what I had believed and hoped in my soul and my body and my brain and my thoughts that, you know what, we're not going to put up with racists anymore. We don't like it. We're very intolerant of it. And we're not going to have it any other way, Barbara. So what do you say to that?
Well, what I say is it's very interesting. Blended beliefs. What does that mean? Well, you know, it's one thing to be tolerant. It's another thing to turn your head and ignore. You know, I'm just going to disregard and not pay attention to you. And it's a whole nother coexistence or a feeling of self-elevation to say, well, I don't believe in racism, so therefore it doesn't exist.
Right.
But America is a paradigm that is built off of racism. It's built off of that. And unfortunately, it raises its head whenever economics get tough, whenever there are politics involved, whenever we feel, middle America feels that, you know, hey, my job is not working right now. I just got laid off. What's going on? I can't make my house note. Then all of a sudden, our blended beliefs become internal. And we start to see that, you know what, maybe we should take it back. Maybe we should go back to the way it was, where true Americans, of which a lot of people out there believe, true Americans are a select few, and that in that true American existence, there is no racism because no one else counts.
Yeah, see, you know, I think that's I don't subscribe to why you even say or think that, because I don't see that, and I will tell you why. Because when you look at the founding of this country and you look at our framers and where they came from and the fact that we broke away from England, what had happened and how it all happened, it was the concept of providing free speech and the right to bear arms and a free society to do what we wanted to do. I think, and let me just say, America gets blamed an awful lot for this slavery business and this racism thing, which, you know, quite frankly, it's a world problem. It's been going on around the world, Barbara. America wasn't the first or the last to be involved in that bullshit scheme of slavery.
And it wasn't, but let me just stop you there.
But we get blamed all the time. America does, and I don't like it. So, and I want to say one other thing to you. I'm going to throw it back to you, but I'm going to say this. You know who's mostly responsible for this game of chess that has used these groups? You know who I blame a lot of this on, Barbara McGee, is the politicians. The politicians have separated the people consistently. They've done it, and they continue to do it today. And they pit one against the other, and they put groups against other groups. And I think this is a power game between the political elite who use it to divide the people. I think the people are a lot more connected than what you give them credit for, Barbara.
Okay. I don't know. Wait a minute, Malcolm. You've left out an important piece. You're bringing up slavery, but you're forgetting that political elite, that is those were the founding fathers.
Absolutely.
Our supposed great nation who decimated the indigenous population. So this idea of not only the slavery and the racism, that existed from the very founding of America. So the division between the browns and the whites, that was from day one in the founding of America.
If color is the problem, then how do you explain the treatment of the Irish?
Okay, hold on. I need to get back to my point. Thank you, ladies. One moment. What is important to understand is that we all have been taught inappropriate history about America. And we live off of the idea of what we want America to be for us. And we've been disappointed. My white brother, my brown brother, my black brother, we're all disappointed, because as we are finding that our founding fathers all held slaves, all of them held 200-300 slaves. And I'm talking about Africans that were brought here for the express use of being involved in horrible sexual acts that created an entire race of people that were discommunicated from the economic structure that is the freedom in America. So the founding fathers made the Constitution for themselves and not for anybody else, including the indigenous Americans who were already here. We have to get that straight. We have to own up to it. And you know what? When we really stop and think about all of this, I'll tell you, I have another show on another network. Just last Tuesday, we were discussing financial literacy, and we were attacked by the KKK. It's a call-in show. So unlike this show, where we are talking and we all have a platform to speak from, I invite my listeners to call in, and we were attacked by the KKK. So it's great to say, I don't believe it, I don't subscribe it. But guess what? When you're black, you don't have a choice, because it's in your face.
Here I am, I'm a history major. I also did gender studies when I was in college, okay? I took special women's courses. I took a course on Native American culture and how it was decimated and so forth. I look at history, okay? It is what it is. Okay, that's my answer to that. I don't try to judge it. I don't try to put it to today's standards. I mean, our founding fathers lived in a time when women didn't vote, okay? You know, the indigenous people, yeah, they came here and they took their land. This is history,
and
I'm not defending it. No, I'm not defending it. I'm not trying to put any kind of, you know, set of standards on it. It just is what it is. And when I read history and I read slave diaries and things like that, and I was moved to tears, don't get me wrong. And I watched Roots, and I've spoken to many Black people, and I've been to many, many seminars of multiculturalism in my corporate life. And I was always a big, big proponent of putting everybody together and listening to all ideas. And, you know, we worked together and unified, we're very strong. And I made a lot of good friendships that way. I do not look at history as a measuring stick for I owe you something or you owe me something. Okay. It is what it is. History is history. And some of it is very sad. Some of it is very beautiful. And some of it is just, you know, ugly.
Well, very interesting. You say, I don't owe you something. Well, you know, I agree. And, you know, I just went up. What people don't know is that I am a dual citizen. I hold a citizenship in the United States of America because I was born here. I'm a descendant of the Creek Nation, which is the five tribes that own the Oklahoma Territory that came from Florida, where we own that, and Georgia, and a survivor of my lineage survived what's called the Trail of Tears.
All right. So, Barbara, you don't necessarily agree with this study then, do you, or do you?
Well, I believe that studies are paid for.
Okay.
So whoever pays for a study and finances it, they are financing it to get psychiatrists to bring forth the ideas that they want to bring.
Okay, so you're not necessarily subscribing to the fact that America is become far more tolerant and that they just don't, you don't subscribe to that?
No.
Let me go to Dr. Andrea a moment, please. Let's bring her in on some of this. Very fascinating. Dr. Andrea, as a Black woman yourself, talk to me about racism. How much does it exist in your life now?
Oh, heavens.
Talk
Malcolm,
to me.
It still exists. I'll be very honest. It's one of the reasons I do not live in America right now. And, you know, a lot of people, when I moved to France 7 years ago, they were very surprised. They thought, wait a minute. You know, this Obama was in office. They said, wait, President, things must be so much better. You know, when I first moved to Europe, many people were surprised to hear me say that racism was a big problem. You've got a Black president now, things must be better. And while people are becoming more tolerant to, you know, certain races and sexual orientations, the reality is that the hate speech and the people who are hating, they have become louder.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrea, lovely brown colored skin. Surely you didn't see any racism. Well, absolutely I saw racism, and I still see it today. So much so that, yeah, I have left the country, and you won't see me living there again.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, I lived abroad as well. I lived in Canada, and I felt I really there were a few things that happened that really made me change my opinion about how I could be treated. That was such a freedom to be accepted just for who I was and not be seen as part of an African-American race, even though I'm half African-American, I'm half Creek Nation, and I'm half Irish.
Right.
You know, my grandfather was white, you know, so it's very interesting how people perceive you as to how America subscribes to the hate of you. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a very attractive woman. I will say that because I'm a makeup artist. I know just what to do.
Ooh, exactly. Go ahead, girl.
Exactly. And so sometimes I can use that to supersede the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that are just like me that cannot or have not figured out how to supersede the problem, who cannot survive the officer pulling them over, who do not survive, is what I'm saying. That's the problem we're having. And that's why I'm just so concerned about what we mean in America when we say, well, I am tolerant.
Hmm.
We don't talk tolerant of
it. Well, let's do this. We're going to take a pause a moment here. Fascinating. I'm taken back a bit, frankly, with some of the comments on racism from you, Barbara, and Andrea, although, you know, I respect the complete honesty, as you are always honest, it makes me sad, quite frankly, that's the case, that is still exists as much as you say that it does exist today. And as you're saying, Barbara, well, just because you say it is that way or some study says that doesn't make it so. I think there's another side to this. I want to present it to you just after the pause here. And let me give you another thought back on this I've been thinking about. I wanted to hear your views first. So we're going to pick it up just a moment here, right after the pause here, with Dr. Andrea Pennington, Barbara McGee, and Ava Armstrong. Stay right there. We'll be right back with you. We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutloud.com. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample, or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home. We are back. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. We're joined today with Barbara McGee, Dr. Andrea Pennington, and Ava Armstrong, the co-host today on the show. Again, we are on our march to 100 shows. Friends, we thank you for being part of this incredible journey at Life, Liberty. And we've taken on the tough topics. There are topics. It's an amazing, amazing group of people that I tell you, I just adore everybody on this show. They're incredible, incredible people. Friendships have been made. Friendships have been made with you as well at home and in your life, and we're thrilled to have you here with us. Check it all out at America Out Loud. There's a lot going on there on the platform, and we're excited to have you part of this thing. Some really exciting announcements coming up over the next month or so. So stay in touch with us, and we'll bring all of this great news to you. We're talking today, blended beliefs, the repercussions. We're talking about some of the origins of America even. And we've shared some interesting dialogue here thus far, and some of it, you know, I pointed out to you this study that came from a group, Social Forces, that's been documented now in quite a few publications, including The Economist here I'm reading to you. And they say that the only thing Americans are not tolerant of are racists, but that we're not tolerant of that, but we are tolerant of many other things. Interesting. You'd think when you read the in-depthness of the study that it would be maybe a glimmer of good news or hope, but actually Barbara and Dr. Andrea are saying not so much. They're not really buying that maybe so much, that they're thinking, and Dr. Andrea, just before the break, you were saying, you know, that you had left America for the reason that you find it very, very racist, and that you wouldn't return again to live because of that racism that you believe still exists here in the country. Because, you know, I thought you would have said I don't know why, but that when I asked you, was racism a problem in your own life? And you said, well, yeah, it still is. I was a little surprised to hear that. I didn't think you had to deal with that as much anymore. But you're saying that's not true. It's not the real world, Malcolm, huh? That it's a real problem out there and you're dealing with it still, huh?
It's a real problem. It's pervasive. You walk into a grocery store, you walk into a department store, it doesn't matter how well-dressed you are or how well-spoken you are. When you are targeted, when you are looked at with a suspicious eye, that means something. And when I see my brothers and sisters being pulled over or profiled by police, that creates this general pervasive sense of fear and dread. And that is not an energy I care to live with. And it's still there. It's still pervasive. And the other problem I find is, unfortunately, in America, you can almost not escape the media. And thank God for you, Malcolm. Thank you for creating America Out Loud so we can get some media. But I, for the first few years of my child's life, we didn't have the TV in our house. Mm-hmm. We don't watch news because it is so sensationalized, right, and skewed. But I can tell you that every day that we see a news story about some person of color being abused or fatally shot, wounded, beaten, it's tragic. Mm-hmm. And I can't escape that kind of racist tension.
Well, I'll tell you, Andrea, playing on what you just said, the whole origins and the making of this platform was to level the playing field, in all frankness to all of you, was to level the playing field totally. It was to let the silent voices be heard. It was to bring the people outward and to be able to have real conversations with people that not necessarily come from the same pew or have the same ideology or the same moment or the same thought, but it was to connect us, to understand. I believe I have a simple philosophy in life, really, is let's lead with our best. Let's talk about what connects us as a people, and then let's work on the things that might divide us as a people. But a lot of people all too often lead with what divides us. When I say us, you know, people in general here. I don't know. I come from a different planet, literally. We say that we kid about that all the time on this planet, but I really do, because I just don't see it in my world, and that's why Barbara and I have kidded each other throughout the whole season about this thing. And now that we're having this big conversation here, more towards the latter part of the season here, it's interesting to me. But here's what I want to say. Andre, when you say America, and you do all of this, and you mention, okay, listen, you know, you say, you know, we're intolerant or racism is still alive and well. But I want to say to you, I think all too often. Now, listen, I know America is supposed to be the good child in school. America's the gateway to the West. It's a Christian nation. There are a lot of things we can say about America. America is an experiment. It's a vision. It's an experiment. I get all of that. But here's the thing. A lot of the hate and the vulgarness of humanity, I have to tell you, ladies, I'm not going to allow you to pin that just on America, Andrea and Barbara, because quite frankly, that is being showcased around the world on a daily basis. The terror and the bullshit that goes on around the world is far more severe in other countries and other areas of the world than it is in America. So I think it's very misappropriated and misguided that you suggest that it's here and that you say it's America's problem or America's this or America's that. I have to believe that, and I've seen it in my life. Now, listen, I grew up in a family, Barbara, in all disclosure to you. I mean, a lot of that generation I was around, I seen racism. I felt it around me. I don't understand. I mean, I look at God making us all as creatures, as very unique people. It's what makes the world so exciting. It's actually what I love about America is our diversity. We're such a collection of unique people. And the fact that we can all be brought together and have this homogenized life and talk about what separates us and what divides us. But here's what I want to say. Hate exists. Barbara, Andrea, Ava, hate exists. Hate will always exist. Evil people will always be here, and the people who want to crash the party with the bullshit and the negative and all of this, they want to pit one against the other, will always exist. I just don't think I don't think America should get the blame or the credit for that whole program. I think that's a humanity problem that comes from around the world. Now, I'm going to defend America in this case, because American exceptionalism is alive and well. So I'm going to stand a little taller on my friends here and say, I don't necessarily buy all this anti-American stuff. Sorry.
I was never saying that America was alone in this. It was simply the show topic. Is America becoming too tolerant? So that's the focus on America. I will never deny that there is extreme and incredible oppressive racism all over the world, and there are other countries that are equally miserable. I happen to live in one that's not quite as
Thank you
miserable.
For saying that, and I do understand what you're saying with that, and I appreciate you settling that back to me. I'm very much a patriot at the end of the day. So you'll forgive me when I sort of stand up a little taller and defend the Union. Go ahead, Ava.
I just wanted to say that when I read this article from The Economist, and I actually like The Economist so much, I follow them on Twitter. Most of their articles, I think, are very well resourced, and they put the sources right in there.
Exactly.
Where they get the numbers from. And I found this to be a very uplifting article. I actually smiled as I read it, because in my own life, in my own circle of friends, you know, people that I do business with, that I interact with, I've noticed in the last decade or so a tremendous acceptance of people of color, of people that are LGBT, of people that are, you know, I'm saying all these different groups that in the past were hurt badly. And now I see a whole different kind of attitude. And I'll tell you specifically, some people that I've spoken with, they're older people. Some of them are, you know, my mom's age, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and they're becoming more open to talking about this stuff, to, you know, there are television programs now, you know, Modern Family. I mean, there's all kinds of different shows on, and they all have these different characters. And I think that has kind of put it out there. And it's probably been bashed by some, but there are some people that have looked at it and said, you know what, that's really not that big a deal. And I always, at the end of the day, I always think to myself, you know, how does this affect me? Mm-hmm. I mean, here are these people who are different than me. They're living in my world, and they're just people. They have blood that's red in their veins. They have organs that are the same as mine. They have a brain, and they have feelings. So we're all human beings underneath the skin that we wear. So, and I'm very fortunate. I was brought up in a family that was very non-racial, you know, racially.
Yeah, I mean, where does the book ever come from? Show me the book. Where does it say in the Bible that white privilege is alive and well? And I want to talk about that next, this white privilege bullshit that is very annoying to me. And where does it? Where's the book that says one class is supposed to be better than the other? Who gets the right to say that at the table of life? I don't. Where's that book? Does that come from God Almighty? Does anybody, Barbara, does that book exist?
Well, you know, I'm well versed, and this show is not about the actual Pan-African Holocaust. But in the reading and the briefing that our wonderful producer sent to us to prepare us for this show, it talked about in The Economist how beliefs, you know, it went down the list, and it ended up somewhere around the KKK and those articles that were sent. And it talked a little bit about the KKK being one of the most influential and most terrorizing groups ever known to the United States. And they also talked about the fact that right around in the 1920s, it had millions of members. I think that's very important to understand. So maybe it wasn't written in a book that you read, but the book that my parents read and lived, it was very, very much known.
All right, so then, Barbara.
Many of this.
All right, so then government got involved. We started with programs like affirmative action, other things to level the playing field. To level the playing field, did those things help?
Well, I was a part of, I think, the affirmative action scenario when I went to Berkeley. I think also when I became a train operator for BART, I think I was part of affirmative action in the
See, I find way. Those very discriminatory. As a man here myself, I find those programs very full disclosure with you. I want people to be judged on the merits of who they are. Two arms, two legs, a brain, a heart, a soul. That's what I'm looking for.
Let me just tell you. Okay, so there were 5,000 applicants to be engineer for BART in San Francisco. That's the mass transit train. Mm-hmm. There were 5,000 applicants. We went to school for 4 months. Out of the 47 that were hired to go through training, I was the only female, the youngest, out of 8. All of them were white men, except for me, and I had a 98% percentile, so I was the highest in terms of my testing scores.
I knew you were a smart shit bobber. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. So, but I would have never made it through the vetting process as a female, as a 26-year-old Black woman. I would have never been given the chance for the coursework and to learn how to operate the train and save lives.
Well, then the program is flawed. The program is flawed. The system is flawed if that's the case, because you should be based on that score. You should be based on what you're able to do and how you scored. That's what you should be based on, not the Black woman or the white man or the yellow guy. Or that doesn't come into it, man. What's that got to do with it?
Talk about the yellow guy. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
To know, okay, so I'm from the Bay Area, and living in Los Angeles is a little bit different. It's a different consciousness, but let's go back to that Bay Area. Okay, so right now, Cal Berkeley, where I used to go to school in the 80s, Berkeley right now is 55% Asian national, Chinese. There is about 37% white Americans, tax-paying white Americans, and it is 1% Black, 3% Hispanic.
Okay.
That's, and then the rest is zero.
All right.
So in California, you have people who are living in Silicon Valley. You have people who are making, you've got to make at least $100,000 a year to just rent an apartment in the Bay Area. So let's get that straight.
All right. Well, you chose the state. Go ahead. What's your point here, though? You chose the state, and you got Democrats running the state. So don't bitch about the money you're making or not making out there, the cost of living. You guys keep electing those cats to office.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. It's not that nobody protected anybody from what happened in the Bay Area. It needs to be said. But do understand that this is what is happening.
California's in financial ruins, Barbara. The politicians out there suck.
My Sally and your Sally, they are not going to Berkeley. Get it straight.
Berkeley sucks anyways. Who would want to go to Berkeley? Whether you're white, brown, green, or yellow, Berkeley sucks. Berkeley, I wouldn't want to go to Berkeley. If it was free, I wouldn't go there.
Well, it is something that we pay for in our tax dollars, and we have them as Americans, right. White, black, or indifferent. We have a right to go before a Chinese national. Yeah. Let's get it straight. But guess what? Your Sally has got to get a 4.8. Is it even possible?
You know what? Change your paradigm. Move the hell out. Tell them to go to hell. Change your paradigm. You don't like what's going on there? Change it. Leave. Because that's the way it is. That's the way that's what freedom is. I mean, but everybody keeps doing the same thing out there. California is an experiment that is not going so well right now, quite frankly. And that state is in a heap of trouble. And yet they don't fix the paradigm out there. So you know what? I don't have a lot of sympathy for the Californians that they can't seem to fix what's going wrong out there. And let's just call it what it is. Elect some new people to office. Change the legislation. Stop giving the money to the universities. Change the rules of engagement. Did you find... So let me ask Andrea, you lived in California for how long?
Just 1 year.
Oh, only 1 year. I thought you were there for a long time. All right. I didn't
realize
it was just 1 year.
I was working out there, doing TV shows out there, but not living there.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I thought it was. Where did you live in the States before California? I'm sorry, roughly.
The D.C. area.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't realize that. I apologize. I'm glad to know that, though. So you were up in D.C. that was where a lot of years you spent there?
Yeah, 10 years when I was working at Discovery Channel, and I had my big wellness center there in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Cool. Wow. You could deal with all those political retards up there? That's amazing.
No, I couldn't. That's why I got
exactly.
Out.
I couldn't live up there either.
I made it all the way to 2000.
I get off a plane up there. Oh, Andrea, I get off a plane up there and I go, I'm aghast. I can't even breathe. The air is so stifling up in D.C. from corruption. I can't even breathe when I step off the plane. It's like, you know, it's just a bunch of hot air up there is all it is.
Well, I guess I must be just a Pollyanna kind of person, because in this article, I was so it really made me feel good to read that the KKK has slipped down to 5,000 to 8,000 members. And when you look at the huge population in the United States, what is it, 320 million people?
Right.
And they're now, that's a pretty insignificant number.
You know, KKK, Ava, you know what I really believe that is all about, ladies? You know what this KKK is, whatever? This is a terrorist group. That's what this is. And they need to be treated like a terrorist group. That's what they are. They're a terrorist group, okay? Now, I don't even know how they exist anymore, if they do exist. They've never existed in my world, but I guess they're out there still. I don't know. I don't hear much about it anymore, but I guess they're referenced in this article. But these people are the lowest of low of low. They are the scum of the earth. You understand what I'm talking about? They're scum. Total scum. Now, how do I spell scum? S-C-U-M. Did I make that any clearer? By the way, I want to mention to you that Dr. Andrea Pennington has a show. She has a show. You probably know that already. Liberate Your Authentic Self. And it airs every day on America Out Loud from noon to 2 in the weekdays. Now, on the weekends, she's Dr. Andrea Out Loud at that moment. And she's doing I love it. She's doing it. But you know, the thing about Andrea is she's not afraid to talk about anything, but she does it with class and style. So her weekend show, by the way, can be heard at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, anywhere in the world, you can get any of this on our apps, Android and Apple. Be sure to get the apps, and it's just a beautiful world. You can stream and get all of this great content. We're having a great time here at America Out Loud. We got some really cool things coming up here in the next few weeks, folks. So we're going to be releasing our store, the America Out Loud store. And we've got a lot of cool things. We've got a lot of our people are great authors, like Dr. Andrea's a fabulous author. Ava's a great author, and they got books. And we want to help sell those books. We got the books on the site here. Can't give you the address yet. We haven't released it yet, but check back with us, and we'll launch that 1st of August. Looking forward to that. We've got some other very cool shows coming up. We're excited. We know you are too. Stay right there. We'll be right back in just a moment. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Thank you so much for listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I am Dr. Andrea Pennington, and before I get back into the conversation with my illustrious co-host, I invite you to take a listen to Liberate Your Authentic Self. You know, here at America Out Loud, it's all about letting the silent voices be heard, and probably a silent voice, well, maybe it's actually a loud voice inside of you, and that is your badass, kick-ass self that really needs to get unleashed. So check me out every weekday from 12 p.m. Eastern until 2. And then I have a special weekend edition. It's a little more saucy and spicy and provocative. And that's at 3 o'clock Eastern. So listen, I am really grateful for the times that I've spent with you guys. Ava, Malcolm, Barbara, this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure has been at times quite controversial. You guys have got me riled up, and I appreciate that we are able to do it with respect. We share our views, even if they are a little edgy and opposing. But I want to say this. You know, I left America because I am empathic. I pick up on energy. I feel the energy, and it was intolerable for me. And in order for me to really thrive, I needed to get out. But listen, it doesn't mean I'm turning my back on America. And it doesn't mean that I don't have high hopes that we all can get along. But I want to challenge each of you as it pertains to relationships. You know, we talk a lot about, I'm not racist. Some of my best friends are black. You know, we hear, how many times have you heard that one, Barbara? But what are we doing? What are each of you doing to really put your ethics into action? That we visibly see that you're taking a stand for making America more tolerant and less racist and more loving?
Yes, I put my money where my mouth is when we created this foundation, this whole America Out Loud. That's exactly right, Andrea. It's a great point you bring up, huh?
I agree. Andrea and Ava, Malcolm, I just want to say that, you know, unfortunately, reality television, which, you know, a lot of us don't subscribe to it, but guess what? A lot of people are educating themselves from that. A lot of us in America are educating ourselves, not from books, not from searching for truth, but from the boob tube. That's where we get our information. And so what's happening with, I think, the black-white scenario is that the media has taken this a discourse to put really great scripted white family shows together. And then on the flip side, the black shows are reality shows. And so we see the worst of the worst of the worst of these beautiful black women who are just bad actors. They're not even actors.
You're saying the shows on media, television and all, that the black shows are being casted badly? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying they're being casted badly. They're not being cast. They are just reality shows with scripts to show people in a negative light.
You're saying it's a stereotype, Barbara, huh?
Yes, that sways our opinion about who we are. So if you don't know a black family, you can educate yourself about looking inside of how they react in their home. Now, let me tell you what the danger.
The Kardashian people. What color of skin are they? Do you know? I don't even know. Are they black, white, or green?
They're Armenian. They're a whole.
Yeah, I don't even know. I never watched it, but I'm just curious.
They're a whole different scenario than what I'm talking about.
And what about the Biggest Loser? They're all obese and white. What about them? They showcase the white people in some pretty awful states, no?
No, I'm talking about backbiting. And I'm talking about pretty successful women who are just bad actors. Now, let me tell you what's really happening. Just recently, now that we've come to the understanding that we, Ava, in America, are poorly educated on our own history. Let's just understand that and acknowledge it. Now there's a show. I don't know if anybody knows about this show, but it's called The Game of Thrones. That's one of the most popular shows in America. Right now we have Comic-Con down in San Diego. There's 10,000 people standing outside for 6,500 tickets. Young people, because they are members of this cult Game of Thrones. Well, the Game of Thrones creators just got a green light lit to have a new show. Their new show is called The Confederates. And what this show is about having 2017, the Confederacy winning the war, the Civil War, and we still have enslaved Black Americans. And now they plan to do this show. And I think that that is the most irresponsible opportunity of using television time. What do you think about that, Ava? What do you think about the dangers that that could create?
Oh, that sounds weird. I mean, that's not even something I'd want to watch, for one thing. And you know what? I'm a little bit surprised that that even got funding in this day and age. I'm really surprised by that.
It did. Yes, it's greenlit by HBO. Absolutely.
So is the show's going to be all racist-based or something, Barbara?
Well, what it is it's called The Confederate. At least that's the name right now. Variety says that it's greenlit by these two creators, and it's going to be 2000 modern-day slavery. What does it look like?
Well, you know, a show can only make it if people watch it, number one. It can only make it if people watch it. So, you know, if that's...
You want to watch it because it's the Game of Thrones. They are the number one show.
Oh, that's
show
the Game of Thrones? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I didn't make the connection to that. Sorry. I don't know anything about the Game of Thrones. I hear the name around, but I don't know what it means or what the show's about.
People that are watching this, and that's what I'm saying about how we misuse this.
I want to suggest people play with the game of life and focus more on their life instead of all this reality shit that's like taints your brain and puts you out to lunch somewhere. I mean, why don't you just make your own life a reality and live the best life you can? I think these media conglomerates are just getting rich by doing stupid shit on the screen. Does that make any sense, Andrea?
Well, it makes sense if you're a business owner.
That's right.
You know, it's...
That's right.
educational. So take advantage of the hate in America. The people that would love to see modern day slavery, they're going to tune into that show.
Exactly.
And if you're the shareholder in that company, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, Andrea, hate is always going to be here. Hate was here from, you know, the scene in the garden, and it's been here all the way through. It's just human. It's people. It's part of the human structure in race. And it's always going to be here. But that doesn't mean those of us who have love and care and strive for bigger things in this life, that don't mean we have to subscribe to that, right? We don't subscribe to that. I don't, you don't, nobody on this show, I don't believe anybody does.
No, and that's why we create our own content.
Amen.
That's why America
Amen.
Out Loud exists.
That's right.
That's why I'm doing the documentary film stuff that I'm continue to spread love. And at
Amen.
Some point, we will get to a tipping point.
See, that's what I like right there. Hold right there. The tipping point, ladies. The tipping point. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to do, Andrea, is tip the scales. Let's get to the tipping point. Because you know what? I don't want them all hijacking the program. I don't want all these naysayers and these racists and xenophobes and nut jobs hijacking the program. I think we need to tip it back. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to take some time, but, you know, the force of love and the force of light, it will prevail.
What's wrong with that?
I think it's very interesting that America just does not stand up and demand the correct programming that we want to watch. I mean, I don't know why we can't just say, we're paying for television. It's not like, you know, it's free. You know, you're paying like on the average of $150 a month.
You talk about television, the television now. Yeah.
You pay for that.
But I don't make television part of my life. It's not part of my entertainment. So why do we need that? I don't need television can go away tomorrow. I wouldn't miss it at all, Barbara.
But you are 1%.
Yeah, but now let me say this. I would miss radio, however, Barbara.
I want to be able to see, where's the Christian programming that I can watch? That me and my daughter, I have a lovely daughter. You know, I have to preview a show, Dr. Andrea, to sit down and watch television with her. Because sometimes I just want to relax and I just don't want to go through, you know, trying to explain everything. But it's so tainted.
Here's my answer back, Barbara. Here's my answer back. So let's bring, you can be part of all of this ahead. And I know you're working on some very cool things right now. But let's bring the program into America Out Loud. And let me explain what all that means when we talk about great programming, okay? Because we are a future. What's happened now is we are the future here. The media is in turmoil right now in transition. And we're the future of what's going to happen in the media source. So my eyes right now, they're on very unique programming. In fact, Dr. Andrea is assisting me with programming and bringing in some very dynamic shows we're looking at around the world that we are looking to bring on here. And let me say this. Back to what you just said about faith, Barbara, my goal right now, and I'll tell this to Andrea, Dr. Andrea right now, so she hears as well, I want to bring in some Christian shows, some faith-based shows, some very spiritual faith-based shows to play on the weekends as well, because we're building out separate weekend programming that's going to be very unique on America Out Loud, because I think the weekends are a cool time, where a lot of us like to disconnect lifestyle and do some cool things. But, Barbara, we're also bringing in video. A lot of shows, back to television video. We have AmericaOutloud.tv. We have all of that we're bringing in. We're on the early, early stages of some really groundbreaking, cool stuff. And as experts yourself on the platform and all of that, we can run those videos and those television shows and what have you on the platform. And all of that is available to all of us, and that gets the message out and helps us create some really great content. So we are the future. We are the future. We are part of this media change and transition that's happening. And that's what all of this is. I want you to understand that's part of the mission. I just don't want to miss this opportunity to brag about that a little bit, because that's what's happening. The old media is dying. It's dying. And it's all changing right now. Yeah, Andrea?
Absolutely.
I mean, speak to that a moment. You can see the transition happening. And that was what's really exciting, why you've come back so many times to me, Andrea, and you've said, I mean, let's talk a minute. You've said to me, Malcolm, my God, what you got over there and what's happened with America Out Loud is so damn exciting and all the things. And, you know, there's been a lot of muscle put into this thing to get us to this point. I mean, I'm just letting it all happen. I'm not trying to, you know, it's not about bragging or anything. That's not even part of the conversation here, Andrea. You understand? It's about really creating a great platform with awesome people, putting out great content, and making it happen. And that's my goal, is to really change the paradigm out there, you know?
Yeah, and fortunately it's working, you know, and that we see independent networks coming out that are putting out great content. And, you know, to Barbara's point earlier, what can we do? Well, people will stop plugging into the HBOs of the world and those content providers that are providing negativity, and they'll start plugging into these alternative platforms like what we're doing at America Out Loud. So yes, bring your content, bring your ideas, mm-hmm. and the more the better. And right. I'm so grateful that you're doing the video aspect, Malcolm, because people still do like to watch
absolutely.
Pretty images.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we want to be on that. That's why we have the whole thing going. We tied it to YouTube and all of that, and that's all happening now. So listen, I want everybody to realize that. And again, we're building that out. Andrea is part of that. She's helping us build out the weekend program and doing some very, very cool things. Listen, we're at the early stages, ladies, of some awesome, awesome things. I knew that this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, was going to be groundbreaking. I've had some very interesting media and some very interesting publications that have reached to us in the past few days that want to do stories about the show and why the show is so unique and what's going on. They know we're going to plan for season two. They know, in fact, I see this show going forward now, at where it will be multiple seasons. But I'm also thinking about some other unique content. And I promise you this, as I take a few days to step back just ahead here, I am looking to really put my thinking cap on, ladies, and really put together some very unique programming. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I want to promote what's just. I want to put the love back into humanity. I want to build on that. I want to right the wrongs. I want to make things right out there. I want to get that foundation out there. I want to help people live a more prosperous life. I want to create that think tank and help us solve some of the biggest problems in the world. These are the things that I'm so excited about. I'm just could shout from the mountaintops. It's what gets me up in the morning, and I'm ready to take on the day. That's what makes me so excited here, friends, about all of this, because there's so much opportunity. We live in just it's an amazing world. It's an amazing world. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Absolutely. I want to just thank you for allowing me to have a voice and to show you a little bit and to show the audience a little bit of the difference in our life experience.
Well, I'll tell you this, Barbara, you and Ava Armstrong and Dr. Andrea Pennington and Barbara McGee, you have been tremendous. You all three have been so tremendous to this production. Make no mistake about it. I am very, very grateful to you for being part of this very unique experiment, Life, Liberty. This was a real interesting project. I knew it was going to take some heavy lifting. Let me say, you're going to do a show 7 days a week. As I said earlier, my team and my people looked at me when I launched this show back in April, and they said, "You're going to do what? You are out of your mind. You're nuts." And there were some people really bent off at me and got in my face and said, "You cannot do this. You can't even handle your schedule now. How are you going to do a show 7 days a week?" And they said, and they tried to pare it down, and they said, "No, do it weekly, once a week." I said, "No, this is an important show and an important dialogue, and we're going to do it. And I'm going to connect 10 people from around the world, 10 women." They said, "What? You are..." They called me all kinds of names. And these are people that supposedly like me, that are supposed to be in my camp.
And yes.
Right? They thought I was Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, they thought, "You are insane." And I knew it was going to take some heavy lifting. I knew I was going to have some sleepless moments. And because, you know, when you're already overloaded and you're going to do a show 7 days a week. And then we did it at 5 p.m. And we did the encore at 11 p.m. And we thought it was an important message. I thought, and I know these women are extraordinary, strong women, and they're going to put it out there, not going to be afraid to bring the goods, right?
And you did it with 10 women. Who can do it? What man can do it with 10 women?
You know, because I happen
exactly.
to be... Well, thank you for that, ladies. And that's been said to me before, but quite frankly, I believe in women's rights. I believe I'm a bit of a feminist myself. I believe to empower women. I have done that all my life. It's not a new gig for me. I've lived my life. I'm an authentic person. I live my life in the way that I describe and what I talk. I am who I am. I don't make bones about it. I'm not going to please everybody, but I don't live my life to please everybody. They like it, they like it. They don't. Tough shit. Take a number and go back to the butcher shop. I don't really care.
You know? I think you deserve some kind of a medal.
I'm going to quote Ava Armstrong on that.
Oh,
That is
yeah.
very, very sweet. You ladies have been just stupendous. Some of the, I mean, I got to tell you, these are, you're all great friends of mine, great friends. And I just wouldn't have done this. What a blessing. This has been like, this is an amazing gift. It's been a gift from God. This show has been such a blessing to me. It's changed my life. It's given me such a perspective, and it's something so interesting that I wanted to do. Anyways, I can't tell you enough. I hold this show in such high regard, and the people that are part of the show have been so amazing. And our listeners and what we've done with the show and tried to bring together a real conversation with you all out there, we are blessed. We are truly, truly blessed. I am having a great time. The platform is amazing. The work that's happening is amazing. I love what I'm doing right now. What can I say? I'm at a beautiful point of life. I'm doing some amazing things. I feel great. I feel healthy. I'm taking my healthy cell. I'm a spokesman for the, because the product's been phenomenal for me. And so I'll give a little plug to that, ladies, right? And I encourage everybody to get on that, actually. It really has been cool. And but anyways, we all got to take care of ourselves. I learned that lesson a little bit the hard way. Ladies, thank you again. Friends, the show is called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. The topics are varied and many. The opinions are strong and lethal. And the conversation is live and authentic. And if you want a seat at the table is here. God love it. Thanks again for being part of my journey here today, friends. Barbara McGee, Ava Armstrong, Dr. Andrea Pennington. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.